This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 458 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. And joining me on Skype from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, the man who likes to take circular photos, it is Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
How do you mean?
Because it just strikes me that you like circles in your photos.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see where you're coming from. Right. No?
Yeah. My God, I've actually stumped him for once.
No, I'm just thinking what kind of... Just, you know? No. So, anyway.
I did. I actually did.
It's more like I just can't be bothered.
With what?
Oh, just arguing the point. I just spent like, I don't know, 3.5 days getting the kids to eat their dinner.
I know that feeling.
Doesn't take 8 minutes to eat a piece of cauliflower.
Oh, you know? Yes, just, it does.
I'm just at my wit's end of having to just argue a point or force something to happen.
Don't
just like
have to argue the point.
Well, how many times do I have round things in my photos?
Well, maybe not
once
as often as I imagine. Maybe
once
not
in
as
the blue moon, which is also round.
Yes. I don't know. I just like
no, what you say is my best ones have round things in it.
Well, maybe. Maybe. I mean, I was referring, obviously, to the images that you shot this week, but it also made
I shot some images this week.
You did, and we'll come back to that. But it also made me think of that time a squillion years ago when you and I went out shooting in Melbourne, and we were in that old factory, and there were various round
Those
shapes.
Those round hole things.
Yeah.
In the ceiling
and
or floor.
It struck me that you were quite... you know, excited when you discovered them and were very keen to include them in your compositions. And I just thought...
Well, round things are good.
Yeah.
But you know why?
I wasn't complaining.
You know why they're good?
Because I've only got one side?
Because they're not straight.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. We have so many photos with leading lines in it.
QA you know? And jury and
rockets. We haven't got any leading circles.
I want to be straight. I want to be straight. Taking drugs and staying up late.
Anyway. So we have so many leading lines, but no leading circles.
Right.
So it's just, it's something about a circle in a shot that holds you in a spot.
Yeah.
Because your eye can, as it goes around it, literally. Mm. It can, as long as the subject you're shooting is, doesn't go beyond that. So if your subject's in front of the circle, your eyes won't travel too far back. If your subject's beyond the circle, like say looking through, if you're at play school, looking through the round window, and your subject's out in the yard, well, obviously your eye will go straight through the window. But yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're nice.
And I think of how often, you know, Storm Thorgerson included circular motifs in Pink Floyd's artwork over the years.
Yeah.
There was lots there was lots. Anyway. But anyway, tell us about the photos you shot this week.
What photos?
Oh. the round ones.
It doesn't take 8 minutes to eat a piece of cauliflower.
No, it does not.
It does in this house.
It takes nine.
It does in this bloody house. Anyway, I did some photos this week.
Mm. Yeah, do tell.
And some of them had circles in it, funnily enough. So I was approached by Wendy Fantasia, who is just an awesome body painter who does the body painting or a lot of the body painting for the So Brave calendar.
Right.
And the So Brave calendar is a charity calendar that's done each year for survivors of breast cancer.
Cool.
And the money raised from selling the calendar goes towards breast cancer research.
Nice.
Now, over the years, I've been involved with them for about 3 years. I didn't do it this year, actually, because I mentally wasn't able to cope with it.
Right.
But the last few years, as their photographic director, not doing the shooting, but just trying to fix the stuff that maybe the other people shot.
Right.
And going through all the images shot to say, well, yeah, this is of this group of photos of this lady. This is the hero shot. This is, and choosing which should be in the calendar, basically.
Yeah, right.
And we're necessary doing some post work to kind of give them some either a bit more pop or a bit more cohesion across the range of images through the calendar. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So I've been doing that for a few years. It's a great cause, and I volunteer my time. And nice. It helps. It's a great cause.
Yeah.
So anyway, Wendy was approached a couple of months ago by a lady from Sydney, funny enough, from up your end of the world.
Right, right.
Who has her third bout of breast cancer I think it was 4 years or 5 years.
Oh, wow.
This one's not good. Yeah, this is, she'd be very lucky to get out of it by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
So she's wanting to do some stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the things she wants is she so loved this calendar, because she was supporting it for, obvious reasons. I really love to have an image of myself like that, because she's so, apparently, I didn't know at the time, but once I met her, it's so out of character for her to be basically naked in your 60s, basically naked, body painted on a public beach.
Yep.
It's not a normal state of affairs, funnily enough. And so she really wanted this thing done. And so she approached Wendy and said, oh, are you ever going to be up in Sydney? And is there a chance? And she goes, and Wendy said, no, but if you come to Melbourne, if you get yourself to Melbourne, I'll do it for you for free. I'll do it as a gift.
Wow.
And Wendy not really expecting it to happen. And then she goes, here's some dates for you. Which one suits you? And then Wendy reached out to me and explained the situation. So, of course, I volunteered my time straight away.
Yeah, nice.
To be involved. Not so much for the lady, who we'll call April, because she doesn't want a real name out there, but for Wendy, because Wendy's done so much great stuff for me over the years. She's worked tirelessly in body painting. And, I've paid her a bit, but nowhere near her normal value, because you paint someone for 8 hours and then you hang around for 3 hours to do touch-ups.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. And my little gigs I charge, you can't charge enough to people for a two-hour shoot.
Yeah.
For the cost
to get,
it takes for to have a model around for 10 hours and body painter and an assistant body painter for 10 hours. Yeah, it's Wendy's been very generous. So I've a couple of times in the past, one set of images for the So Brave calendar, Melbourne set of images, were just not usable, unfortunately.
Oh, right. That somebody else had shot.
Yeah, so they had to reshoot.
Right.
So basically, which means they had to repaint this poor woman, another 8 hours of body painting.
Wow.
And I've jumped in and helped them out and did that shoot the same time I've ever been in the calendar.
Yeah, right.
So I volunteered my time. So we went down there, met the lovely April, and she was just a corker. She was just delightful as a lady, awesome. Full of energy. I mean, she was shaken like a leaf when we first got her out, because the water was a bit cold.
Yeah.
There's not an awful lot of her. She's pretty scrawny because the cancer's taken its toll on her body.
Yep.
And adrenaline and everything else. Ill health.
Yeah.
So she had a lot of the shakes going on, but she powered for several hours modeling.
Awesome.
Which completely out of character, as I said, for her. We had it, in water. Yeah, at some points, kneeling in water, coming out of a sewage pipe was a stormwater drain.
Yep.
The sewage pipe. On uneven rocks, there were a bazillion floody flies. There were all these massive dead jellyfish all over the beach.
And
it was a perfectly still night. It was a hot night, warm night, and perfectly still.
Right.
Which never happens. It's always a breeze down. The first time I've been down there, there's been no wind. So these flies were just everywhere.
Yeah, right. It's very early in the year for flies.
Oh, I'm telling you, there were hundreds of thousands of them.
Wow. I mean,
your back would have had 200 or 300 flies on your back every time. You
know? Yep.
And I've got the most of the post-production work I had to do with the photos was cloning out flies.
Yeah,
either
right.
Either one mid-air. I mean, it looks as bad as a Sony sensor for a while. There's some of them. Mid-air. Or literally, I've got one on her lip. There's one on her shoulder. Yeah.
Oh, no.
You'd finish an image. Oh, that's all nicely finished. And then you'd zoom right in, look around. Oh, fly. Oh, fly.
Oh, no.
They were just everywhere. Of course, they're going in your mouth and up your nose and in your ears.
God.
Fun place to shoot.
Yeah, right.
Funny enough, the only place they weren't was inside the stormwater drain.
Really?
Yeah, it was much nicer in there. Right. Didn't stink. Yeah. So did a series of shots, and I April's given me permission to post some shots online, which is lovely of her.
Yeah.
But I've kept all the close up ones of her. I'm not going to show anyone. That's just for her. But yeah. Just some distance shots where you can't really see who it is necessarily. She was zooming right in and look. But we had a fabulous night. I mean, you're kind of hoping for a sunset, and nothing happened.
Yeah.
Of course. But we had some cloud, and the cloud was reasonably interesting. And it wasn't just like a few bits here and there. It was, you know, wall to wall cloud.
Oh, cool.
But wall to wall with a little bit of structure in it, not just bland nothing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Which is kind of what you want. You know?
Yeah.
And yeah, all off camera flash, underexposing the ambient light and then filling back in with flash.
Yep.
And just a simple flash with a reflective umbrella to keep it simple and be able to move around fast.
Nice.
But we did a whole series of photos, and I think we got some good ones.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, your hero image, which is the one of her on the sort of mouth of that stormwater drain, just looks awesome.
Yeah, well, I don't mind that one, but everyone else seems to like it more than I do.
Right. Is it not your favourite of the shoot?
No, I think some of the ones that are in the water. I even prefer, because once again, I've done that shot before.
Right.
You know, so that's, and I've done all the shots before, basically, but there's one I did actually having the camera down, almost touching the water coming out of the stormwater drain.
Oh, okay.
And then the flashes. So the description is stormwater drain. I've walked in about 20 feet where I know somewhere down there's a pole, a little pole going across the pipe for some reason. I don't know what it's for.
Right.
But you can balance a flash on it.
Oh, nice.
Extremely convenient.
Yeah, right.
So I had a flash down the back then there with a red gel on.
Yep.
So when the light comes out, you've got this demonic tunnel of red coming towards you, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then a flash on the outside, once again, through with the reflective umbrella, lighting her up.
Yeah.
So you underexpose the ambient, and I've got some behind-the-scenes shots. It was dull, but, uninteresting. And so you underexpose that so that all the ambient almost disappears.
Yep.
Which, of course, makes the pipe look even more demonic and more powerful. And then she's, of course, fully lit up.
Yeah.
So she stands out in the shot, so it's really good. But then
So before you go on, so you're... aim is to correctly expose her with the flash that's outside of the tunnel.
Yeah.
The flash that's inside the tunnel, were you aiming to underexpose that?
No, that's just whatever power comes out. So you want that to be vibrant and colourful.
Right.
Yeah, so what you have to be careful of is all your other settings.
Yeah.
To get the exposure on her right and underexpose the natural light ambient, you have to make sure the flash firing from down the back doesn't overexpose the walls of the tunnel.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. Like, but you don't necessarily want to underexpose. You don't want it dark. You just want it there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You
know? So so it's a matter of getting the power coming out of the flash correct. And that's, well, to be honest, I didn't even check. I just pressed the button. It looked okay. But if it was no good, you power it down a bit. If it was too, if it wasn't bright enough, you power it up a bit. Nothing magical about that. You know? So we did that. Then lit her up. And then I got right down almost onto the water where the water was sort of coming down the beach.
Yeah.
And the red light coming out of the tunnel is reflected in the water.
Oh,
so
nice.
It looks like you got this lava flow coming out towards her.
Oh, sweet.
Which is pretty cool. So that's maybe one of my favorite images. I don't know. I like a lot of them. Yeah, which is cool. Unusual. I don't normally like a lot of my photos. I just messaged the photo to you.
Oh, okay.
For some reason, there's a little smiley face and an SJW underneath it. I don't know what that means.
Right.
Another message. Smiley face, SJW.
Okay.
So ignore the smiley face, SJW.
Right.
And I sent it via...
Oh, okay. Like, yeah, nice. Now I see what you're talking about with the... Like,
yeah, so
the,
you can see...
Looks like lava, yeah.
It does, doesn't it? Or this red something.
Yeah. Something. That's cool.
It's got the flat. You can see the red flash in the back of the shot.
Yep.
Which I don't mind.
Right.
But some people might.
Yeah.
That's personal opinion. But it was really hard for her to pose there. It was really hard for me because I'm shooting not looking through the camera because I've got the camera laying on the water.
Yeah.
And I'm not laying down that stuff to do that shot.
No
way in the sports. So I did a few shots trying to get her body to block the flash.
Yeah.
But it was just too hard.
Right.
And live view isn't a good solution because the focus gets really tricky, really slow,
yeah,
and it just does my head in. So I'll just aim and I guess
spray and pray.
Pretty much. Spray and pray. I aim and hope. Yeah. Nice and spray.
Right? No, that's nice. And what focal length were you on for these?
So that's a 15 mil.
Right.
Or thereabout. So I just
so you're through. Actually quite close to her there. Like yeah, you're only a couple of metres away.
Yeah, the water's only going down probably 2-3 feet of sand.
Right,
before okay. Before it goes into a big puddle.
Right.
Yeah, so cool. And I've just sent you through probably my favourite shot of the night.
Yep.
So it just seems to all come together for me. It's pretty nice. Powerful. And once again, for a woman trying to show her power and her bravery and her inner strength, I think the images are pretty cool.
Yeah.
And
I bet she's stoked with them.
Well, apparently. I mean, I haven't talked to her since, but apparently she likes them. And that's half the battle, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
And here's a sad thing. You know, I was doing a close-up photo of her. Yeah, she had a big headdress on and some face paint on her face, but most of her face was exposed. You could see who she was. Yeah, it wasn't done up. And I was doing this close-up portrait, just head and shoulders sort of stuff. And I said, "Oh, you look really beautiful in this." And she did. She looked great. Yeah. And she didn't break down, but she goes, "Oh, no one's ever said that to me in my life."
Wow.
And I just like, oh.
That's a bit rough.
Yeah. I said, "Well, I'm bullshitting because, I just want you to smile." But didn't say that. It was a touching moment. Yeah. And it was like, wow, you photograph people and now she obviously had reasons that she'd shared to why she was doing this, but I'm sure there's lots of reasons that she hasn't shared for why she's doing this.
Yeah.
Family issue, whatever, people's perceptions of who she is as a person, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, so that's pretty, a little bit heartbreaking when you hear something like that.
Yeah.
And then she did message me afterwards. She goes, after seeing the photo, she goes, "You've really captured my soul." And that's a
powerful thing. Job done.
Yeah, I mean, if knowing that these are maybe some of the, well, certainly from the last professional images, maybe she'll have done in her life.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it captures who she is or who she thinks she is or who she thinks, how she thinks she's seen. She was even saying, like, to get the headdress on, they said, "Oh, do you mind if we shave your head just a bit here?" And she goes, "Yeah, no, let's go straight ahead." She goes, "I've had the same haircut for 30 years. I walk in the hairdresser, just sit down and get the same thing done every single time." And all of a sudden, bang, no, I've got this freedom to do anything I want to do,
Yeah, right.
So it was a really, really good, really good shoot. I'm still going through the images. I haven't had a lot of time this week to post-process the images.
Right.
But excuse me. But, yeah, so that was Monday night. It's now Thursday. And that was Monday a couple of nights ago. And it's not unknown between our little group of listeners here that, I've been struggling a bit mentally for a while.
Yeah.
It felt really good to go out and do that for someone.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. Yeah.
It's been a funny old week in the demise of Glenn Photography. Something like that happens, and you see the power of the good stuff that you can do. It's pretty cool. And then another thing's come up, which I'll talk about in a bit. I'm taking events already for September next year.
Well, I did say it was a soft exit.
Very soft. Yeah, we'll see that through. But anyway, so I had that shoot, and which was really quite fabulous. It was good.
Yeah, awesome.
I said, so if anyone wants to support also the breast cancer initiative that my friend Rachel and Wendy are doing, it's called the So Brave Calendar. I think the 2020 issue just launched like a week or two ago.
Yeah.
So look it up, So Brave. I think it's .com or .com.au.
Nice.
If you feel the urge. And then, we talk about the fragility of life.
Hmm.
A friend of mine in Brisbane, up in Queensland, someone I trained in some of my early workshops in Queensland, actually, named Rebecca. And so she's posted up on Facebook this morning, and she said her daughter's had some major health issues the last couple of weeks.
I know the Rebecca you're talking about.
But really for the kids' entire 14 years has been one long. So she's had 11 open heart operations
yep
in 14 years, and countless other thousands of other issues. Life has never been easy. Well, she's back in hospital again. She's been 14-year-old's been in hospital this week, and with unknown problems and blood work going all over the shop, and issues and swellings and fevers and all sorts of things. She was supposed to go in for her 12th open heart operation in like 2 weeks' time.
Yikes.
And now that might have to be put off because of her health and if she even makes it, kind of thing.
Geez.
And then Beck puts up there today that she's just talking about her daughter, and she goes, and there it's so hard to listen to your daughter sobbing and saying that she's scared of dying at 14. Oh my gosh. So then some of her friends are jumped. So Rebecca's story says she's a sole mum.
Yep.
A whole guy walked out, never paid a cent, that does nothing but cause troubles.
Yep.
Four daughters.
Yep.
Yeah. Trying to survive as a photographer to run all that, and the kids are into horses.
Yes, I was going to say, and there are some furries that need to be fed and adjusted and
expensive things to look after. Yeah. And on top of all this, the last 2 weeks, her house has been pretty much surrounded by fire.
Yeah,
yeah, with massive fires down the end of her property, fairly harrowing as well.
Yeah.
And then have to put up with all this as well. So it's pretty, a couple of her friends have jumped on and started a GoFundMe page.
So as
a dad with a couple of young daughters, when I read that this morning, it was like the first thing I could do is let's share that on Facebook and try and get people donating. And I've got to say, for people, if anyone who listens to the podcast who donated, and so quite a few people did, I don't know if they listen or not, thank you so much. Some of the generosity shown by some of our little photo community and others. I've had people from the US sending money. I mean, people, and not insignificant sums of money, I might add either. I mean, they've raised almost $5,000 just today.
Wow.
You know what medical bills are like. You know, even in our system where things are discounted, trying to give your other kids a Christmas, trying to keep the house over your head when you can't work because you're spending all your time away from home in another city looking after your daughter in hospital. I mean, and she may be in hospital for another 6 or 8 weeks.
Yeah, right.
If she's lucky, frankly, to be in hospital next time, you know. So that reality of the last couple of days, you know, and so you think, well, sure, I'm struggling, but by comparison, by comparison, it's not that bad. Yeah, there's a hell of a lot worse shit going on in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, just to add to my forward-lookingness, because that's a word. Remember we talked about 6-8 months ago about
that's Australia? In the dictionary, right beside functionality.
Oh, don't tension functionality. We've been inundated. I'm going to say we've got a plague down here in Melbourne of tiny white moths.
Oh, okay.
Doing my head in because they're all over the house. You can hear, they're everywhere. Every time you open the door, 16 more come in. The things are just bloody everywhere. Sorry, I just had to say as I was squishing yet another one. That's the third one in this podcast alone I've squished.
Right.
So remember we talked about Sri Lanka about 8 months ago about me maybe doing some work over there. Well, they finally come through and said, right, it's looking like this time frame next year, we need you for 20 days as a starting point.
Nice.
20 days. They're saying it could be one block of 20 or two blocks of 10. And
wow.
So I'm getting all the paper. Going through next week to look at the tender process it's not a tender per se because I'm the only person being concerned.
Yeah.
But to all the process of what's required and everything else, and I don't quite know how it works out, but it's they did this program this year, it's an Australian government aid initiative basically,
right. Okay.
In Sri Lanka, where they're trying to develop in this regional area called Batikloa. Tourism, trying to develop tourism out there in a more regional zone that doesn't get much tourists. So they've got this organization called Skills for Inclusive Growth, and they're training, hotel staff, they're training tour guides, they're training waiters, waitresses, chefs, and everything else.
Yeah.
And they even had Mark Okalupo out there a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, the surfer. Yep.
Teaching surfing to locals for when tourists come there to surf, there's people who have knowledge and can guide, whatever it may be. So he was out there. But they ran a program this year called Supreme Chef.
Okay.
It was a bit like MasterChef type thing, but they're right. basically training up young chefs in a competitive environment. That was basically a TV program like that. So they built those things up, and the winners got to come across to Darwin and work in a top restaurant in Darwin, one of Australia's top chefs,
right.
and learn skills there. So it develops the whole industry of cooking, cleaning, all that sort of stuff, which is pretty cool. So they're doing Supreme Chef 2 next year.
Yeah.
And somehow I'm going to be, I don't understand how or what, but I'm linked into that somehow with it. So watch this space. I can't cook. I can't cook, so it's not going to be much. But yeah, so my goal hopefully is I'll be going in there and teaching, discovering what's there to shoot, first and foremost, then teaching people how to put on excursions and tours and how to guide people to what photographers are looking for.
Yep.
Don't go to the pretty thing over there. Go to the rusty, crusty, crappy thing over there. Yeah. Don't show them the pretty thing down there. Go down that street down there because of the character and the walls or the whatever it may be, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of – and then I've got to develop modules and training programs that they can then teach other people to come in.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
It'll be a fairly full-on – it actually sounds like real work.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how that's going to go on. So I just had to squash moth number four.
Right.
I'm not sure how it's going to go on, but I'm prepared to give it a shot. So that may be happening as soon as January.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Wow. I mean, I honestly reckon you'll love Sri Lanka.
Well, I'm sure I will. I mean, really there's not many places in the world I don't like.
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, I like being anywhere, basically. But so that's given me some pep.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, a little something to sink my teeth. And then you kind of hope, obviously, that maybe this is going to be more than a one time thing.
Yeah.
Not only for this organisation, maybe you can go in and do it over once a year or whatever, but maybe in other areas of the world that this government program is working, maybe there's an opportunity to do something there as well for the government. Which I would love to help develop tourism. I think it's a fabulous opportunity.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's all good. So I'm hoping that all comes together. Yeah.
So how is it that all of your contact has been with the Sri Lankan people and not with the Australian government?
Well, it's self-contained and run in Sri Lanka. So the organisation is run, it's just funded from Australia.
Oh, I see. Right. I see.
So and the support networks here in Australia for them and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, right.
But it's coming from Sri Lanka through other contacts that I've known. They know what I do and having tour experience and training experience and all that kind of stuff. Because they seem to think it fits quite well. So, so it's basically run out of Sri Lanka, but it's funded and supported out of Australia.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so it'll be good. And if they do a good job and they give you a nice pretty bow or something, there might be a chance to do something somewhere else.
Nice.
Which would be cool, yeah. And there's no one I know of doing anything like this.
Right.
Going and training guides for photographers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but of course, obviously, the goal is to develop a program of, once again, I don't know what's even there to shoot yet, so hopefully there's enough good stuff there that people will want to shoot. And then maybe we put on a tour there. We get Discovery Photo in the US to run a tour. We start getting photo tours going there because it's not somewhere everyone else goes to.
Yeah.
It's some opportunities.
Yeah, even as Sri Lanka goes, it's not exactly one of the hot spots.
Yeah, so. Especially after the troubles earlier this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Troubles. It's not just a Northern Irish thing.
No.
Yeah, so that's been a pretty good week.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Day is only Thursday, and I'm off out Black Friday shopping tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
It's
what are you shopping for?
Well, I've got to buy a laptop for Miss 12.
Oh, okay.
For high school.
Yep.
So I figured it might be a good time to go that.
Definitely.
And I'm buying the kids a Nintendo Switch for Christmas.
Oh, nice.
So that's I know there's $100 off deals and a free game tomorrow. So
yeah, nice.
Things. I know, but I've been sort of looking around, seeing what sort of if there's any big photo deals showing up. And other than the typical, and I saw someone on Facebook bitching and moaning about this today, and about an hour after I bitched and moaned about it in my own head, is 15% off everything. Exclusions apply.
What?
Well, now, you can't have 15% of everything except some stuff.
No.
Because then it's not everything.
Exactly.
So if you look at all these things, up to 50% and more, which is always a favourite. Yeah. But yeah, 15% of everything, exclusions apply. And that's the same with JB Hi-Fi, our biggest, like our Best Buy.
Yeah.
All the time. 10% off all of Apple computers except the model number, this one, and iPads.
Yeah,
right. I do hate the exclusions apply. I hate the small print.
Yeah.
And I've always hated up to.
Yeah.
Yeah, the up to 50% off. You go, it's 3% off, but that's not even close to 50%.
Out of the 16 products that are on sale, there's one that's 50% off.
Yeah, and the one you want, the one that's 3%. Yeah, that's pretty standard, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'll be doing a little bit of it's Black Friday's a fairly new thing on our calendar here, I guess you'd say.
Is it something that we've inherited from the US?
Yeah, just to kill moth number five. Just like to
put out a disclaimer, no animals were harmed in the recording of this podcast.
It's some of Rich's brain cells.
Black Friday.
It's a holdover. It's a thing. It's a traditional start of the holiday buying season in the US.
Right.
And it comes the first Friday after Thanksgiving.
Right.
Okay. So they had Black Friday became a big, big thing. And then they decided, well, this is really good. Let's do Cyber Monday.
That's right.
So let's add to it. Because I love Dan here in Melbourne. So we've got Black Friday tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's been going for 4 days.
Yep. Right.
A lot of Black Friday starts now, but it's not Friday, guys. You've got kind of missing the whole point of the whole day.
So that's it.
One moment that's where it. It's really. And then Black Friday up until December 12, December 2 or December 11, depending on what sort of. It's like, no.
And the thing that I've been stung by in previous years is I remember buying an audio plugin that I wanted, and it was, Black Friday specials, coming next week kind of thing, blah, blah, blah. And, special comes out on the Monday and it's like 50% off. And I was like, oh, awesome. Woo-hoo! I can grab it 4 days earlier. And so I grabbed it on the Monday. And of course, by Friday, it was 80% off. And you're going, that's nasty. So it pays to wait until the actual day.
Well, that's it. So I've been holding off, because there's a few deals out there, but I know even just tonight they've dropped another $10 here and $10 there and stuff. So who knows? By tomorrow, they might be paying me to take the stuff away.
Keep dreaming, mate.
So on the Nintendo Switch, and this has nothing to do with photography, but we waffle on anyway. What's the difference about? Do we have to talk about photography? Let's do a non-photography episode. Okay. Oh, we can't. We can't this one because I've already talked about photography.
That's right.
maybe the first episode in the new year.
Right.
We'll talk about other stuff.
Right.
So anyway, the Nintendo Switch is coming with a free game, which is worth like $89, but it's a digital download code. You don't get a game.
Yeah. Yep.
You get a code.
Yep.
Until stocks run out. Okay, so...
Yeah.
Exactly. How does an electronic code run out?
Yeah. It's how just data.
How do you run out of digital download?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like people. So that's my – and then I've got a lovely, lovely morning brunch with some friends, so that's going to be very nice.
Cool. Nice. So
a good day for me again and
nice
stuff. So, yeah. Excellent. And I finally got my daughter into a high school, which is a big load off as well.
Okay.
So we'd be
presumably something other than a public school.
No, a public school, but not the public school they wanted. They were designated to go to.
Oh, right.
We had to go to a different public school. And
so your local was a little bit below your standards. It's okay. You can say yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah. No, it wasn't so much that. Actually, funnily enough, their what's called NAPLAN scores, which is the like school testing that's done in Australia,
yep.
They rated higher than my pay-to-play school the kids used to be at.
Right.
So educationally it was no problem. But my daughter just had this massive aversion to it. She just really did not want to go there.
Yeah, right.
Mentally just had something. So we did everything we could to get her to go to a place where she'd embrace and want to go.
Yeah.
So we finally managed to do that. And nice. The good thing is about it is it's right near the library too. So it's right near the major shop. So if she's after school, she can go and study. So it actually works out really good. And it's a very nice school.
Awesome.
But that's been an ongoing stress for months.
Right.
All other kids have had their schools designated for 4 or 5 months, and we've got nothing.
Yeah, right.
So that was a bit of a load off getting that sorted with days to spare. Because things like next week or something, they go for their first day, their introduction to meet the teachers and see the school. Wow. And stuff. So, it was literally cut into the last minute.
Yeah, right. Wow.
But the thing is, this is amazing. I ended up going sitting down with the principal, and pleading my case.
Hmm.
And he said, look, you're outside the zone and we can't take kids from outside the zone. I'm only allowed to have 200 kids at year seven.
Yeah.
And I've got 196 on the book already.
Right.
And the problem is if people come in December or January, have just moved into the area and live in the zone, they've got 3 kids or 4 kids or 5 kids need to come in, I'm over my number.
Yeah, right.
So I said, look, let me crunch some numbers, I'll think about it, I'll get in touch, and the next day he goes, come and get the paperwork. It's like,
wow.
So I don't know. Yeah, it's a cool thing. And I think he was very empathetic, which was nice. I think he understood the plight of a child, and you want to try and do what you can to make kids have a chance of succeeding. So
yeah.
So that's my week. How's your week been, Dave?
Frantic.
Really? Oh, because it's only you. Is it still only you?
It is still only me, yeah.
What happened to him? What about the Lazy Bones, the guy who's studying moths?
Who?
Moths. The owner who retired and has come back in.
So Terry has still retired and he's still up in the Blue Mountains and enjoying his retirement. But he's got his computer system up there, so he can take some of the workload and do some of the editing up there, but obviously he can't do any of the recording up there. So, yeah, it's I feel like I'm starting to, get enough of an understanding of the way the system works, like in terms of the hardware and the software, to start to go, I'm feeling a little bit more confident now than I was 2 weeks ago, but it's still been absolutely frantic, but anyway, I'm getting there. So just finished my fifth audio book, I think it was, and start a new audio book on Monday. So getting there.
So how does that differ from, because you were doing mostly adverts before, weren't you?
Yeah.
So you're going from short form to long form.
Very long form.
Basically, yeah.
Absolutely. So I've done, I've been in radio for 32 years as we're recording this podcast, plus a few months. And
I'll say, is this the anniversary?
No. And most of that time has been, producing commercials that are either, 90% of them are 30 seconds in duration. Some are 15, some are 60s, but the majority of the commercials we run in Australia are 30 seconders. And that's what I've done for 3 decades plus, and now suddenly you're cranking out books that are over, 6, 7, 10 hours in length. Yeah. It's a whole different ball game. So,
tell me, do they start at the beginning and read all the way through, or do they cherry pick chapters? So is actually just read.
It is read chronologically.
So it's not like a movie where they might film the last scene and then I heard an interview just going off topic slightly again.
Yeah.
Because we're not even on topic, so I don't know what we're worried about.
Yeah.
An interview with the guy who played Freddie Mercury in Bohemian Rhapsody.
Right.
And his...
Remy...
him.
Malek? Is that his name?
Yeah, Remy Malek. Yeah. Remy, do you know his brother's name? Sammy. Sammy Malek. Remy Malek, Sammy parents.
Right.
People. Okay. Yeah, identical twins until they were about 20, apparently, and they started looking different.
Oh, wow.
Kind of different. Anyway, so his first day on the job playing Freddie Mercury, his first scene he had to film was the Live Aid scene.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest...
Wow.
Most important last big scene of the movie. That was his first day on the job. He had to do that.
Yeah. Well, that actually makes sense, because as the producer of the film, you would want to know that your leading man could pull that scene off, because that scene's kind of the linchpin to the movie.
Right, so you could ditch him if he's no good and find someone else.
Exactly.
Be a bit late for that, wouldn't it? Maybe they're
going to stand him. Well, that's the thing, though. Like, if you've shot the rest of the movie and then you get to that scene and realise he can't pull that off, then you've painted yourself into a corner. Yeah. If you try and shoot that scene first and you realise it's not working, you can go, okay, cut our losses, break the contract, find somebody else.
Everyone go home for however long it takes.
Exactly.
Can you imagine the logistics if you had to do that, though?
I know. It'd be insane. But
wow. Yeah, so that kind of makes sense. That's a daunting first day on the job anyway. Yeah, totally. So they read the books chronologically.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically the audition process is that, you know, they'll get three or four potential narrators to come in and do a 2-page audition of the book, and you know, the publisher in conjunction with the author will then listen to the auditions and make a decision on who gets the job. And then we just organize the studio time with the narrator, and they come in, and some of them work off a digital device like a laptop or an iPad, and some people actually, believe it or not, still prefer to read off dead trees. So
did they actually read the book, or do they read printed pages?
No, printed pages. Like, we have to print them off on A4 sheets.
Wow.
300 pages for a book.
How long does it take to read a book? I mean,
well, generally,
average.
It varies from narrator to narrator, but generally an hour of finished content will take probably 3 hours to record. So if it's a 10-hour book, you're looking at about 30 hours to record it. So, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy.
So that's my life these days.
If I was in your boat, and when I'm not, I reckon it would be just, like, amazing.
Oh, I'm enjoying it. Like, it's something totally different to everything else I've done.
So refreshing and so out there, completely different. I mean, it's going to be...
Well, the book that I have just finished, I finished the editing and mastering today. I don't want to give away the title of it simply because it hasn't been released yet. But it was a book all about raising children with disabilities.
Wow.
And it was a fascinating book. And the girl who was cast to read it, she absolutely nailed it.
Yeah.
And I said as much to her. I said, you know, of the 5 books that I've recorded, this is just the epitome.
From my vast experience.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. Yeah. This was just, you know.
Of the few things I've done, you're not the worst.
That's it.
You're the best of a very small bunch. So.
Yes.
So what, just like intonation, just the way she...
Just the way she read it, you know. And I did say to her, I said, obviously it helped that it was well written, and it was written in a very conversational style, and this particular narrator was able to do a really nice, natural read of it and made it sound very, you know, intimate and engaging, you know, in what is quite a confronting topic, you know, or a challenging topic. So, yeah.
What if you don't like the story? You know, you can sit and listen for 30 hours or a book.
Yep. Absolutely.
You wouldn't want to read when you get home, because I've been reading all day.
That's right.
just put Netflix on of it.
Yeah.
Do you know that Netflix and chill means sex?
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you ask your son one day, oh, what are you doing the weekend, son? Oh, we went to my mate's place and Netflix and chills. Right. This is a little warning there, tell you.
Right.
You know, we have nothing to talk about this evening.
No, I've got a few things on the list. I forgot to send them through to you.
But here's the impressive thing, though. We've been going like 40 minutes already.
Yeah, we have.
What waffle have we put on? Yeah, we can shunt out to start 4 minutes of content about photo, and job's done for the week.
You've done a great job.
Look at that. All filler, no killer. You know, it's great.
So I've just sent through the things that I have got on the list.
Have you?
Yes. So Carl Hemmings sent us a couple of, one thing. He said, check out this article on Zinio. And it's all about this day-to-night photography project of a guy called Stephen Wilkes. Now, I suspect we've covered something like this in the past. I don't know if it was the same guy or a different guy, but it was the same style of thing. These composite images where part of the composition is made up of images shot at nighttime.
These aren't composite. This is as night's coming across, dude. That's how night does it. It goes like a wave.
Does it? It's like a Mexican wave, is it?
as the Earth rotates around, yeah. I was watching this thing on Einstein and Hawking this week, so yeah. I know these things.
Yeah.
I'm an expert. So you've got the sun. It's like I've got a torch in my hand here, so watch right. this, okay?
Yeah.
So I'll just make it, take it off the blinky mode because that's a bit annoying. I'll just make it a bit of a smaller beam. Now watch. Yeah. As I move the light, my hand through the light, like the Earth rotating,
yeah.
the light's in a band, right. in a straight line band, and that's yeah. what's coming across yeah. here.
You
in
need,
these.
You need to hold the torch closer to the microphone. I can't hear it.
Sorry,
that's better.
Yeah. So it goes across in a straight line.
Right.
Okay. That's what's happening there. It's like a wave. So he's just been – none of us have been there at the right spot at the right time before, but right. this guy has.
Right.
He's nuts.
So I have also dug out the link to StephenWilkes.com to the gallery of these images because the link that Carl sent only has a couple of the images in it. But if you go to Stephen Wilkes' website, there's the whole gallery of all the stuff that he's done, and there's some great images there. So, yeah, thank you, Carl. Steve Peters, again, I'm sure we've covered this. I'm sure we did this a couple of weeks ago. This was on digitalcameraworld.com, and it's about 30 Canon cameras at risk of ransomware.
Oh, I think we might have just fluffed over it.
Canon issues a firmware advisory. So anyway, I'll put the link in the show notes for anyone that wants to check out that particular Canon users. What?
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
How? How does it get?
I would assume, and I haven't read up on this because, like I said, I'm pretty sure we've already covered this, but I'm guessing it would be cameras that have NFC capability built in. Near field communication.
No ethnic clue. Oh. Yeah. That's most people's cameras. The thing's got no effing clue.
That's my guess. I mean, there might be more to it than that. But
do they even have NFC? I don't think
I thought some did.
NFC. No.
Well, maybe it's just Bluetooth. I don't know. Could be Bluetooth.
Wi-Fi, I think. Not even Bluetooth. Yep. They have Wi-Fi. Oh, I was thinking maybe when you connected, download firmware. But right. if you're going to download firmware, then you're getting these viruses or this message from the Canon website.
Well, like, I was going to say, if you're downloading your firmware from anywhere other than your manufacturer's website, you're asking for trouble.
Yeah, so, I mean, basically, Canon, don't tell us to watch out for our 30 cameras. Fix your website. Mate, but I might not have read this at all to know what's happening.
Yeah.
Something to do with there's holes. There's holes in the standard picture transfer protocol.
What?
No. Picture transfer protocol used to transfer files from cameras to PCs.
Right.
I don't know. Just take the memory card out and
yeah, put it in. Absolutely.
Maybe that's when it happens.
Now, we all know that Glyn loves a list.
Oh.
So in my scouring for something to actually talk about in this episode, I came across this particular we decided we'd add this just because it seemed like a good headline. 9 landscape photography tips to ignore.
To ignore. Now, we should qualify this.
Right.
The picture is somewhat misleading. The picture with the 9 landscape photography tips to ignore.
Yeah.
Because the headline says 9 beginner landscape photography tips you should totally ignore.
Oh, the video is called that, yes. Yep.
So that's quite a difference.
Yes, it is.
So, number 1.
Always shoot in manual. Yep. I'd go along with that. I shoot in manual all the time. Yeah.
This is to ignore.
Yeah, ignore that.
Ignore that. Don't do that.
Oh, not well. Just, yeah. So, right. So the key there is the word always. Saying,
dude, this is your article, dude, and you don't even know the concept. The concept of things to ignore number one, you don't go, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so what they're saying is you wouldn't shoot in manual all of the time, but it is certainly appropriate at some occasions.
Yeah. Like all, even P has its place.
Yeah.
You must have graduated ND filters.
Yeah, not true.
No, because you can do most of that in post these days. Okay.
Number three.
Always exposed to the right.
Always exposed to the right. Yeah.
I saw a big argument online this week about exposing to the right and exposing to the left.
Yep.
And I went right past it.
I've actually changed my tune on this because really? I used to subscribe to that idea of trying to expose to the right. And these days, well, I guess what I came to realize was that by doing that, I would often end up with might only be a small percentage of the composition, but I would end up with some part of the composition where the highlights were blown.
Well, see.
And you don't ever want that as a landscape photographer.
That shouldn't happen if you're exposed to the right.
Well, it can.
If you do it correctly.
Yeah.
Because you're exposed to the right up to the point just before it starts to clip.
Yeah.
And if you're exposed to the right past the point of clipping, well, there's no one to blame but yourself.
Yeah, so I've certainly changed my tune on that, and I'm much more conservative with my exposures when I'm shooting landscape now because I figure you've got the latitude in a RAW file to lift the exposure and, you know, make sure that you haven't clipped highlights in the capture stage, and then, you know, you've got all that.
But, of course, you're introducing noise. So if you're exposed to the
left.
Yes
and no. Yes and no.
Yes and yes.
No.
There's no way around it. It's yes. You have to introduce noise if you're pulling out from your blacks. It might not be much noise, and you might not see, but you're introducing noise. There's no. It's the same as bumping up your ISO.
It depends on how much you're doing.
Much, yeah. So to me, I thought that I believe in exposing to the middle.
Yeah.
For starters.
Yeah.
I just get it right, and it's near enough, good enough. You know, but I would always, the way my brain would work, would be exposing to the right before you clip.
Yeah.
Seems to make the most sense because you've got all your highlights and the least amount of darks as possible.
Yeah.
So any darks that you do have to raise, you're doing it the least you need to.
Yes. Yeah.
Whereas if you're exposed to the left and your darks are darker than they need to be, then you have to raise them.
Yeah, that's a problem for sure.
Yeah, you have to raise them more than necessary.
Yeah.
So I would just say, if it looks pretty in the back of the camera, job done.
All right. Number four.
Or don't do landscapes.
Yes. If at first you don't succeed, try something else. Number four, always use a tripod.
Well, that's silly.
Well, no, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, it's not. I came here for an argument.
Is that a five-minute argument or the full half hour?
There are other ways of stabilising the camera. You don't have to have a tripod.
So am I. That's what I'm saying. So you're saying it's stupid to say you always use a tripod, and guess what I'm saying?
The same thing.
Stupid. Yeah, just differently. So that one we agree on.
Yeah, number five.
Number five.
Only shoot during the golden hour. Well, that's rubbish.
Yeah, what happened to the blue hour?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And
there are times when it is valid to shoot a landscape even in the middle of the day.
If there's a thunderstorm coming.
Yeah.
Only then. Now, here's a tip. Here's a tip. Right, hot off the presses, Bruce.
Right.
Hot off the presses.
Okay.
If the scene looks good, shoot it.
Yes. There you go.
If it doesn't... Not so much.
Yeah.
If the light's good, doesn't matter what time of day it is.
Exactly.
Because guess what? Some things are different shapes than others.
No.
I'm telling you. So what happens is sometimes some of these other shaped things.
That's that Hawking-Einstein video you've been watching again, isn't it?
Crazy week. Sometimes these other shaped things look good from a higher light perspective than from a lower light perspective.
Trippy.
Because the emphasis is on different parts of it.
Right. Excellent.
There you go.
All right, number six. You must have a full-frame camera.
See, there's no such thing as a full-frame camera.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can't have one because it doesn't exist.
But I wouldn't have even... I can't even believe that that's an argument anyway, because APS-C sensors are actually better for landscape photography than a 35mm sensor anyway.
He's trying to flesh out numbers.
He is.
Otherwise, it would have been top five.
It would have been the top five. Yeah. Number seven, you don't need an L bracket. Oh, so there's a negative in there. There's a negative on a negative list, which means he's saying you've got to have an L bracket.
Yeah. So, but what if you're not using a tripod, like I said?
Exactly.
Five, four. No.
I don't think you have to have an L bracket.
Yeah, so I think you don't, because all it does is make things a bit easier for you.
Yeah.
So, hang on a sec. Just don't. Especially if you're not using the tripod. Quite the point.
You may have heard that an L bracket's just a waste of money and it'll make your camera heavier and bulkier, but the truth is that you can make your life so much easier if you're a landscape photographer. Yeah, okay, but it doesn't mean it's an essential part of your kit.
Exactly.
Nice, but not essential. Anyway, number eight, never crop your photos. Bollocks.
So you say crop your photos.
Bollocks. I always crop my landscapes.
That's what he's saying.
Oh, okay. So he is. It's another one of those negatives on a negative list.
Mate, we're up to number eight of nine, and you still haven't quite got the concept of the bloody article yet. We're nearly. This is the penultimate number.
There you go. Number nine. You must.
See, now we're at the ultimate number.
You must have the holy trinity of lenses. Okay. So what does he consider the holy trinity? A wide angle like a 14mm, a mid-range 18-55 or 18-105, and then a 200mm. Yeah. No, you don't have to have those.
Well, it depends what you shoot.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, an interesting list.
And, at the end there, you've kind of got the grasp of it.
Thank you.
Which is good.
Quite an achievement.
About it. Yeah.
Quite an achievement.
my good mate James Hazelden, musician friend of mine, has a fabulous song on iTunes called Double Negatives.
Right.
And it's very, very, he cannot not say he loves you.
Right.
And stuff. It's like all that sort of stuff all the way through the song. So and I do love you not. Yeah. No, I don't love you not. It's all that kind of guff.
Excellent.
If you like a bit of comedic music,
nice.
So it's the one to go to.
Excellent.
That's it. That's all you had on your list.
That's it.
I've got only two things.
Right.
I think I've got. I thought I'd close the window down and got rid of it. Which was short.
Did you send me your things?
I did. They're above your things.
Oh, that's right. So you got in before me. That never happens.
That never happens. So two very brief things. One is on our much-behated friends at B&H Photo.
Oh, okay.
But this is the thing where they're going up against the Attorney General of either the United States or New York or something like that.
Right.
Because he's trying to charge a tax on the difference between the retail price and the sale price if it's discounted. So, for example, say a product's $150.
It's $150, you mean retail price,
$150 okay. retail price.
Yep.
And the store's got on a special, let's say it's Black Friday,
yep.
they've got it on sale for $100.
Okay.
You go in, and in America, it's $100 plus sales tax.
Okay. Yeah.
Here in Australia, it's $100 including sales tax. So
yes.
The $100 includes a tax. In America, it's $100 plus tax on top of that.
Right.
Well, the Attorney General is trying to get them to say, no, you need to pay us the tax on the $150, the dollar value that it's supposed to be, not the dollar value you sold it for.
He's trying to make
not the consumer pay that, but the store pay the tax difference that they've lost because they discounted the product.
That's never going to fly.
Well, they're trying.
Yeah.
It's it's in the courts at the moment, and they're saying, oh, they defrauded the New York government out of millions of dollars in tax because of this. And
I think that is a potentially very dangerous precedent because it's very anti-business.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's okay. Yeah.
Watch this space, I guess.
Crazy. And I saw this thing on Peter Pixel, somebody called Peter, I think his name is. Peter Pixel, or it could have been our friends at Deep Review.
Yeah.
The DP Review, whichever you prefer.
Yeah.
About this thing called Filmic.
Yeah.
A new app for iPhones. It's got RAW support, all this great stuff.
Yeah.
But I thought, well, okay, I'll give it a try. You know? I went online. Bloody subscription app.
Oh, really?
They want an annual subscription to use their app.
Wow.
And this is becoming more and more prevalent. I'm seeing more and more of these photo apps where, like Adobe, you've got to pay a monthly bloody fee to use the app.
Yep.
I'm thinking we shouldn't stand for that. You know, if you don't buy them, they're not going to go that model anymore.
Yep.
If people are silly enough to do it, yes, you get what you pay for, basically.
Exactly.
You're trying to make us get what you paid for.
Yep.
Which is even far more worse.
Interesting that you should mention this because only tonight I posted on Facebook in one of the audio groups that I'm a member of, and I said, you know, Black Friday is coming up this weekend, and you know, everyone's going to have sales over the weekend, and one of the things that I've been thinking of lately is how I want to get away from the plugins that I've got that I am expected to continually pay an update fee on from one of the, you know, biggest players in the audio plugin market in the world, who has what they call their update plan. And it basically means you have to pay this, you know, update fee every, it's probably every 18 months or so, when they quote unquote update the plugins, but they're plugins that they wrote 20 years ago that everyone still uses. And, you know, you're constantly paying this update fee and you're not actually getting anything new in the plugin other than a new skin. And and I said, you know, if you were looking to get away from this, you know, what sort of companies and what plugins would you be looking to? And a few people have posted back with suggestions. So
that's good.
I may very well just, you know, look at some other suppliers of plugins that I can migrate to over a period of time.
Yeah.
So that I'm not continually paying this bloody update fee all the time.
It's stupid, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. And as you say, the more people, you know, vote with their wallet,
the quicker that shit changes.
The sooner that thing will die. Yeah.
Yeah. But they say, but we need your ongoing money for app support. To build it and add more to it.
Yeah.
No, you get new customers for that. That's what new customers
exactly.
are for.
Exactly.
All
right, mate.
That's it. We've done it. I have to throw a little send out.
Yeah.
A little to Ian Collard and Kieran Collard.
Okay. Who are they?
Listeners 7 and 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That's all.
Okay.
We just don't mention it very often. I got an email from Ian during the week, and very remissively, I'm yet to reply. I've had a busy week, as I said.
He's replying via the podcast, Ian.
I'm replying as the podcast is being recorded.
Right.
So,
of course you are.
So expect it in a couple of minutes, Ian, and you'll have it right there. Just have to kill a few moths, and I'll have it right to you. But that's lovely. I mean, long-time listener, never caller, which is he still didn't even call because he messaged me, he emailed me as an aside, and he dropped in the last sentence that they're obviously semi-delusional because he says we're listening to 7 and 8 and both enjoy it.
Right. Excellent.
There's a couple of things going on.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So anyway, hello Ian, hello Kieran. Kieran's just moved to Melbourne.
Hi guys.
and Kieran and Ian's way out there in Billowheeler, Queensland.
Up in Queensland, yeah.
Yeah, he did a workshop with me when I was up there.
Right.
It's lovely, yeah.
So, yeah, nice.
It's nice to hear from the listeners.
It is.
Because I mean, so many of them sent in their Christmas wish list stuff that we asked for. Remember last week?
Yep, not.
Yeah, not a sausage.
And obviously Adam's working his butt off because he hasn't sent us a single thing.
Well, here's the thing. somebody asked me if I knew a photographer for a 50th party down not too far from Adam's Place. I sent him a message and said, you know, is this something you're interested in doing?
Right.
But doesn't it? Slip him a few bucks. He goes, oh, no, it's probably a weekend gig being a party, and my job has me working Friday to Monday.
Right.
Hang on a sec. So that gives him bloody Tuesday to bloody Wednesday to send, and Thursday morning to send something through.
Yeah.
Actually, he did send through one thing to me.
Right.
But it was an app that was being given away for free for iPad photo.
Right.
So it was only a 24-hour thing, so it wasn't going to be valid come
Yeah.
Maybe we'll let him off.
All right. Cool. But,
work harder.
All right, mate. Have a good week.
I will. And I shall talk to you all soon.
All right, mate. Bye.
Is next week our last week for the year?
I hadn't really thought that far ahead, but
let's see how we go.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. If it's as joyful as this one, if we get so many... If we get so many listener input to Christmas presents that we need multiple episodes, you know? That's a hint. It's a kind of a sarcastic hint there, Bruce. Do you reckon they'll notice?
No.
No. maybe I'll get a few emails saying, couldn't you finish the end of November? All right, dude.
Oh, mate. Talk to you next week.
Take care.
Bye.
Shutters Inc. Another audiotu.com quality podcast. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.